Salam sejahtera dan selamat pagi, anda bersama saya Nailah Huda di Niaga Awani. Kita mulakan dengan laporan pertama. Bank Dunia menyemak turun sedikit pertumbuhan ekonomi global untuk 2019 dan 2020. Menurut Bank Dunia dalam laporan Reuters, ini susulan pemulihan yang lebih perlahan dari jangkaan dalam pelaburan dan dagangan. Ini biarpun dengan ketegangan dagangan yang telah pulih sedikit antara Amerika dan China. Tambahnya, pertumbuhan pada 2019 yang disemak turun ke 2.4% adalah pertumbuhan yang paling perlahan sejak krisis kewangan global sedekad lepas. Pada 2020, ia menyemak turun kepada 2.5% dengan pemulihan kekal lemah akibat ketidaktentuan dagangan dan geopolitik. Unjuran ini mengambil kira fasa pertama perjanjian perdagangan global antara Amerika dan China. Dagangan dijangka pulih pada 2020 dengan sekitar 1.9%. Namun masih rendah daripada purata pertumbuhan 5% setahun sejak 2010. Bank Dunia masih tidak dapat mengira unjuran pertumbuhan kesan daripada ketegangan Iran-Amerika. Namun menjangka ia akan berikan ketidaktentuan kepada pelaburan. Pasaran membangun dijangka akan tumbuh sekitar 4.3% pada 2020. Presiden Donald Trump umum sekatan baru ke atas Iran. Ia susulan serangan peluru berpandu ke atas pangkalan tentera di Iraq yang menempatkan tentera Amerika Syarikat semalam. Menurut Trump, sekatan terbaru ini ia akan kekal sehingga Iran menamatkan cita-cita nuklearnya dan henti sokongan keganasan. Namun sehingga kini, Washington masih mengekalkan beberapa sekatan ekonomi terhadap Iran. Namun Trump tidak menjelaskan apa yang dirangkumkan dalam sekatan terbaru ini. Trump juga tegaskan akan minta pertubuhan Perjanjian Atlantik Utara NATO memainkan peranan besar di Asia Barat. Beliau sebelum ini kritik NATO kerana badan itu enggan meningkatkan perbelanjaan ketenteraan. Dalam sidang media ini, Trump turut menyatakan kesediaan untuk buka jalan berdamai. Pada September 2018, Menteri Minyak Iran Bijan Zangane beri amaran kepada Amerika agar hentikan campur tangan dalam Asia Barat jika ia mahu harga minyak untuk kekal stabil. Tambahnya, Amerika tidak boleh menjadi penghalang kepada pengeluaran dan ekspor minyak Iran.
Iran must abandon its nuclear ambitions and end its support for terrorism. The time has come for the United Kingdom, Germany, France, Russia, and China to recognize this reality. They must now break away from the remnants of the Iran deal, or JCPOA. And we must all work together toward making a deal with Iran that makes the world a safer and more peaceful place. We must also make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential.
Sementara itu, harga minyak mula jatuh manakala pasaran equity meningkat susulan sidang media Presiden Donald Trump pada Rabu. Katanya tiada rakyat Amerika terkorban mahupun cedera dalam serangan Iran ke atas kepentingan Washington di Iraq semalam.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you, the American people.
Pada masa sama, Iraq juga tidak menunjukkan sebarang tanda untuk meneruskan serangan ketenteraan. Susulan itu, Dow Jones meningkat 0.56%, manakala indeks S&P 500 pula naik 0.49% dan Nasdaq 0.67%.
Let's not exaggerate what is happening. There is no risk that we have seen to the Strait of Hormuz or the movement of oil yet.
My expectation is that we will not see a war, and hopefully not see a war. This is definitely an escalation among the United States, which is an ally, and Iran, which is a neighbor. But when we like or do we don't like Iran, Iran is a neighbor. We are very close to Iran, and The last thing we want is another tension in the Middle East.
That's up to Trump. If he wants to continue to behave like a rogue despot and ruling over the international community, then I think we're in for a very rough ride, and I think the global economy will indeed collapse because the oil and gas in the Persian Gulf will no longer be exported. But if he has sane and sensible people around him, he'll set aside his arrogance and think rationally and end this now.
But there are a lot of people in the Congress who are frustrated at the lack of clarity by the administration. So how this affects the elections, hard to say. Most people feel the elections will kind of rise and fall on the question of how the economy is doing. We also have to see how the price of oil does. Presumably, it will recover if indeed this crisis is over. So a lot of questions still out there.
Dan untuk membincangkan kesan ini kepada pasaran dan harga minyak, kita bersama Ketua Pakar Ekonomi IQIJY, Shan Said. Thank you so much, Shan, for joining me today. So, before this, you said the global energy market is shivering. And you have been predicting this since last year. And that if we get oil prices above $100 a barrel, we can kiss the global economy and equity markets goodbye. So, you know, given what's happened in Iraq, yes, the oil prices went up, but then right after Trump's speech yesterday, it started to retreat. So what happened there? Do you think investors sort of like factored everything in?
I think investors, they follow the rhetorics nowadays. Both parties, you know, the US and the Iran, they were following the rhetorics. And the escalation started on 3rd January. And if you have seen, the market went up from $66 to $70 per barrel. And now, since last night, you know, since President Trump has said that we will not take any further military action, the market started retreating. So, you know, the market is following the rhetoric. The geopolitical risk is making a huge impact across all asset classes. And this will continue. I think it's a temporary truce. The risk has not really mitigated. Mm. The geopolitical risk. So oil is right now is between geopolitics and geoeconomics. So which one prevails, it remains to be seen in the next 6 months. But still, the markets are still volatile. The investors are very nervous and jittery.
Mm. So we're going to talk about what to expect in the next 6 months and for the whole rest of the year a little bit later on. But, you know, obviously, this escalation that we see between US and Iran isn't good for the global economic outlook as a whole, right? And you also said this is a very precarious time for the global markets. And before and after the attacks were launched yesterday, we saw there's so much difference. It was so contrasting and, as you say, very volatile. So how is it like for investors right now amidst all this volatility?
It's difficult for investors to make decision, you know, how to allocate the portfolio because you don't know what will happen the very next. Since 3-4 days, the investors did not know where the market is heading towards, whether it's heading towards north or whether it's heading towards south. So I think investors will remain nervous throughout 2020. It will be one of the toughest years in the last 6 to 7, what we have seen. If investors thought 2018 and 2019 were tough, I think that was pretty easy. I think 2020 would be a very rough ride. Geopolitics, you have trade war, you have US dollar heading towards the tail end risk, you have gold going out of the roof. So many variables at play.
And speaking about geopolitics, Trump in his address yesterday said very confidently, quote, "We are independent and we do not need Middle East oil." Do you think he's being a bit overambitious here?
Yes, you see, you have to understand President Trump. He is the master of game theory. And if you know game theory, you know, you can easily understand his mindset. He likes to test his opponents. And then he makes all the scenarios and he understands which scenario my opponent is going to choose. So I think he knows how to play the game. He has been quite vocal in press and media about Iran. But if you see, on the other hand, Iran is still defiant. And they said, we will continue to pursue our nuclear program. So I think President Trump is using game theory and he's using very effectively.
So there is a game theory, there is a sort of strategy backing up all of this. He's not just being volatile himself?
Absolutely, Naila. For any negotiation, you need to have strategy. Without strategy, you cannot have any a game plan. So Americans have, you know, a specific game plan, plan A, B, and C, and they work accordingly. On the other hand, I'm sorry to say, Iran doesn't have a game plan. You know, yes, they are following rhetorics, but, you know, analogy I can come up with, Iran and U.S., it is just like Shahn Saeed fighting against Mike Tyson. So, you know, the U.S. is the number one superpower, whether we talk of militarily or economically. So Iran can't take on a U.S., you know. We have to admit that U.S. is the number one power force globally.
And amidst all of this as well, there's another player in play, China, obviously, who is now planning to invest $400 billion in Iran's oil and gas industry. And how does this add to everything that's going on? Does it complicate things even further geopolitically and geoeconomics, as you say as well? How does this factor in?
Iran is an excuse. The main target is China, how to control China. China has already made the decision in September that they would be investing $400 billion in oil and gas in Iran over a period of 10 to 15 years. So the aim is to stop China, to control oil, to control Indian Ocean. So whoever takes control of commodities and sea routes, you know, they will be controlling the global economy. And plus, the another factor is CPEC, that is the flagship program of Belt and Road that is running between China and Pakistan. So it is not just China. There's so many players involved. You have China, you have Russia, you have Saudi Arabia, Pakistan. All the players are involved. So since last night, you know, a lot of backdoor diplomacy has been going on to calm both the players. Otherwise, the global economy might be heading towards a deep recession, and it will take a very long time to get out of the recession.
And so with China and a lot of other countries being a part of this whole mess right now, what can investors look out for, perhaps?
I think follow China, which wherever China is going, follow central banks, wherever the central banks are doing, follow the governments. You know, infrastructure has become the new obsession for many governments. So investors would like to invest in those countries, like in ASEAN, where infrastructure investment is going, you know, is touching almost $1 trillion.
But are infrastructure investments stable right now with a lot of, you know, stories or issues with controversies with debts also becoming an issue?
There are two sides to the story. Infrastructure is one. On the other hand, we have been talking about debt, but that has not really come up. But most importantly, investors would like to come to those countries like Malaysia or Thailand, or they are going to Vietnam, where infrastructure is quite modern, and modern infrastructure has direct correlation with GDP growth. So that is for investors very, very important. Plus, investors are looking at macroeconomic stability. What does it mean? It means wherever you have political stability, economic stability, infrastructure instability, but most importantly, where you have investors' confidence. And investors' confidence comes in when the local investors have confidence. You can only attract FDI when local investors, he or she, is throwing money in the market. If the local investor is throwing the money in the market, then foreign investors will follow that local investor. So right now, ASEAN, China, they are still on the global investors' radar because the investors' confidence is still very high.
All right. So thank you so much for that. We're going to go a bit deeper into what can investors expect for the rest of the year and with the oil market as well. With the past few days has been very volatile, has been very crazy. But where does this go towards the end of the year and what can we expect? Kita akan bertindak seketika kembali selepas ini. Betul kembali di Niaga Awan ini bersama saya Naila Huda, dan kami masih membincangkan tentang kesan ketegangan antara Amerika Syarikat dan Iran dan apa impaknya kepada pasaran dan harga minyak. Masih bersama Ketua Pakar Ekonomi IQI Juwai Shahn Saeed. So Shahn, we're looking at oil prices and you know what has happened as of late. And a shale oil baron, Harold Hamm, says prices are headed to $75 a barrel, regardless of the outcome of rising aggressions in the Middle East and whatnot, which has sent crude to multi-month highs. He said, quote, "I think we're probably headed for $75 oil price in the next 6 months. That's where the market's going, and we'll get there. It's not too much to ask." Why? Why has he said this?
I think it's very simple, because this is election year, and Donald Trump would follow what the previous president had done, you know. They will keep the US dollar down. So if the US dollar depreciates, commodity prices will go up. The second premise is that the geopolitical risk is making huge impact. Thirdly, there will be production cuts coming from OPEC very soon. That will be around 1 million to 2 million barrels per day. So right now we are sitting at $69, $70 per barrel, for example. $75, not a problem, because if you see most of the global players, Saudis, they want $80 per barrel to balance their budget. Russia needs $75 to balance their budget. American companies need $70 to $75. Some companies need $65 to break even. So they cannot survive below $65 per barrel. And there are a lot of bankruptcies going on in US, but nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. Out of 16,000 wells, only 12,000 are working. So 4,000 wells are not working because those producers, they cannot sustain the pressure. So I think we have created at IQI two scenarios. The worst scenario is if this war, if this escalation stays for 3 to 5 days, then oil prices will be trading between $70 and $90 per barrel. But if this escalation, it meanders around 2 weeks or 1 month, then we see oil prices going $100 per barrel. Mm-hmm. And once it hits $100 per barrel, then the global economy might see stagflation. So what is stagflation? It means where you have higher inflation and lower growth. And this, the escalation could be worse than the trade war because it slows down the economic growth. So at IQI, we have gathered market intelligence report. $75 per barrel is very much on the cards. Mm-hmm. For this year, IQI has said that oil prices will meander around $62 to $90 per barrel. And we very much stick to our forecast for this year.
So those are your two scenarios that you predict in 2020. But I think it's also important to look back at history, right? You also mentioned this in your article. Do you see sort of similarities between, you know, this shock factor with war? We've seen it happen before. Do you see the similar patterns with what's happened perhaps with the Iraq war a while
yes,
ago?
Yes, nowadays, the very valid question. Nowadays, people are started asking whether we will hit the same levels of 2008. If you recall, on 11 July 2008, oil prices were trading at $147 per barrel. And at that time, global economy was almost, you know, it heads towards recession. And then we started, the Fed started QE to get the economy out of recession. So I would not be surprised if this escalation, if it goes above 1 month, then, you know, $150 per barrel very much on the cards.
And how was the investors' sentiment like back in 2008 with, you know, the oil prices at the time?
At that time, you had mortgage crisis. I was in US, so I had the first-hand, on-the-ground information. Lehman Brothers went down on 15 September 2008, Monday. I was in Chicago. 18 March, when Bear Stearns went down, 2008, Tuesday, I was in Chicago. So I have seen financial history very closely with my sinful eyes. At that time, from 2007, 2009, the markets were very bad. You know, if US government had not bailed out many of the global banks like Citibank or Goldman Sachs, they would have become history, like Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. But since they got bailed out, they are still surviving. But I think the markets at that time were very bad. They're still very bad. The markets are not very good. Some investors are living in delusion of grandeur, and they feel that, you know, we will continue to have this, you know, free money coming out of Fed and ECB. This is not going to last. The asset prices are all distorted because central banks have been printing money out of thin air. And this will eventually, you know, the market will take correction in the next 6 to 12 months.
You know, this all sounds very scary. But do you think that investors should stay concerned? How do you think people should react?
You look at all the big investors, people who are credible, Stanley Druckenmiller, Warren Buffett, Jim Rogers, you know, Mark Farber. All these people have been saying all along that, you know, you should go long on cash. People who understand history and economics, they have always taken position in real estate and gold. And look at gold. You know, a few years back, I still remember I was attending a networking event. And the gentleman said, you know, Warren Buffett is saying that gold will touch $500 per ounce. So you don't follow people blindly. You do your own due diligence, do your own homework, you know. Understand the market realities, you know. If you keep on following Warren Buffett blindly, then, you know, you're on the wrong side of the table. So I think investors, they need to understand the market realities and they need to understand what is happening at the macro level. It is always the macro that drives the economy, not the micro.
And so overall, how do you think your prediction is like? What are you looking at in terms of the whole oil market outlook for the rest of the year, for 2020?
Oil market will continue to upsurge globally. ASEAN, China will continue to have growth. Europe is irrelevant. Japan is irrelevant because there is no growth as such. Africa is coming up. South America will continue to have a subpar growth. US, Canada, yes, again, a subpar growth of under 2%. So the main focus of investors, if you pick up Economist magazine World in 2020, they have clearly mentioned about, you know, that ASEAN, Asia is the growth story. So if you're not in Asia, you're in the wrong continent.
And you say as well before this, if the markets get jittery, USA is to blame for the whole mess. So what do you think should the role what do you think is the role that the US should play then?
I think what happened on 3rd January, I'll throw all the blame on US. You know, it was not Iran, it was US that started this escalation. So if the market goes down, the markets go into a recession, all the blame goes to US.
And so how else do you think, if you were to sort of, you know, hypothetically sort of, you know, advise how the US should go for the rest of the year, you know, remain stable, I guess, that's one. But, you know, with what Trump has said, last night in his address, in his press conference, is that he does not plan on extending, furthering the war anytime soon. He's trying to see an end to it. But he has been sort of saying that for a while, right? He just wants an end to this war. But the means sort of, the ends don't justify the means, right? And so how do you think Trump should react now then?
I think he has given a very balanced statement last night. But if you see over a period of 2 years, his actions and his words, it does not really match. So I think I don't value his words for the time being. I think it is just a mere rhetoric to calm the markets because it's an election year. He has got too many things on the plate. He has trade war. He has impeachment from Democrats. He has Ukraine and Russia. So I think he's taking it very easily. And as I said, you know, he's a game theory maven. He knows how to play his cards very cleverly.
All right. Thank you so much, Shan Syed. Thank you so much for sharing your insight on what to look out for in the global markets this year. Terima kasih kepada tetamu kita, Shan Syed, Ketua Pakar Ekonomi IQI JUI. Sekian saja daripada saya, Naila Huda, di Niaga Awani. Kita jumpa lagi. Thank you.